Yikes, listen to some of this. In the Pacific Northwest, ash from exploding volcanoes will hide the sun for 2 years. Seattle will be covered by water. A new coastline in the Pacific Northwest covers most of the current state of Washington. Much of Oregon sinks due to a massive earthquake. And on and on and on. We'll be back in a moment with our guest Lori Toy on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Lori, why is prophecy always seem to be scary, doom and gloom? You know, when are the ascended masters or anybody else going to be able to say, hey, don't worry, life will be great for all of you? How come that never happens?
Well, there's also good prophecies in here, too, as well. On the website, I've listed a few of them, but primarily what they also talked about is that they said that we were entering into a new time and that this was going to be a period of cooperation, not competition.
You've got an area here called Shalaha.
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 Yeah. Shalaha, that is the Golden City Vortex. It is located in Montana, primarily in Montana, parts of Idaho, small bit of Oregon, little bit of Washington.
What is this city?
Well,
this vortex.
These are the Golden City vortices, and the masters were very specific in giving this information as well. Their areas on the Earth where certain ley lines intersect, and the Earth's energy is interacting with the master's energy to create areas that will be protected during the times of changes. Now, I've gone in through and around the work many, many times to say, are they saying they're geophysically protected? But in the beginning work, they say they are spiritually protected.
Now, tell me, how does this all work in terms of dimensions and what's out there? This consciousness that you've brought up before, which a lot of people seem to be bringing up now.
Yes.
What's out there, your opinion?
Well, in the Golden City vortexes, which is really interesting, they symbolize, their structure symbolizes the dimensions. And they said that there'd be four three-sided pyramids. And then there'd be the one capstone on top. And people can see that on the website, what that formation looks like. But that is a symbol which represents the third dimension moving into the fourth and onward to the fifth dimension.
Who's going to build these pyramids?
They already are built.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're already built. These are geophysical areas that are open for all of us to go and sense the energies in. And so it is pretty interesting. They're large. They're about 270 miles across, about 250 miles high. They're known as the Crystal Cities.
Where are they?
There's five of them in the United States. There's 51 of them total throughout the whole world. And it's a very unique body of information, and I hope to be publishing a book in the next couple of years which will give more information about this.
These are physical structures?
Well, they are in the physical, but yet they are also in the fifth dimension. And in the beginning work, they described them like as a thin sheet of mica that would separate them from the physical world and the spiritual world. And one way that I can kind of compare it is in the Book of Revelation, John talks about the great cities. He talks about the Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And I've wondered, is that what they're trying to describe? You know, is a whole other dimension to us?
Yeah, but I mean, you're saying these structures are there now?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are in the physical. And
I've never seen one, or most people probably haven't seen one.
Well, they are sensed, George. But it's something that when you enter into them, you sense them at an energy level. People that are real sensitive to these types of energies can actually feel when they enter into a Golden City vortex, when they leave one. I've had a couple of people tell me that they actually do see them.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's not like a Egyptian pyramid.
Yeah, it's more of an, I don't want to call it ESP, but more of a psychic ability to sense it.
And, you have to perceive it?
Yeah, sense it. You use a more developed ability, you know, to sense these things.
Who built them?
Well, as I understand it, these are part of the Earth's energy grid. And because the Earth is also moving up in its evolutionary process, it is Mother Earth.
I mean, are these natural structures?
Yes, it's a vortex. And, you know, a vortex is an energy body, and it moves like in a funnel type of
All right,
of
well,
movement.
Now I follow you. Now it's probably there.
They're fascinating. Well, it's very, very fascinating work, and there's five of them in the United States. There's one in Arizona, New Mexico.
Can they be found specifically with equipment?
Yes, they can. And actually, I met a gentleman who, at the time, had been in Russia, and evidently Russia maps all their vortices. They're much more advanced.
There one down in Homestead, Florida?
Well, there's small ones everywhere, you know, but these are a specific type of vortex, and there's all different types of different vortexes. And I'm not an authority by any means, but I know a little bit about the Golden City vortices. But there's another one in Illinois, Missouri, and Indiana. There's another one in Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. The one Shalaha that we spoke about up in Montana. And then another one in Colorado.
Well, the reason I brought up Florida is because of the Coral Castle there that was built a long time ago by a fellow by the name of Ed Leedskalden, who claims that he built it there because of these vortexes.
Well, I could believe that. And sometimes you'll run into small vortices, you know. They say that they can be masculine or feminine. And sometimes that depends also on the types of mineral deposits, you know, that they're near as well. One theory is that they seem to channel wherever there's iron.
If you were in one of them, or in the middle of all of them, what would happen to you?
Well, you feel a higher energy. And one of the first things that I've heard a lot of people comment, they hear kind of a high-pitched ringing in their ears, a buzz, the high frequency. The other thing is that people say that when they travel to them and they sleep in a vortex, Golden City vortex, that they have unusual dreams.
Does it heal them? I mean, if you're dying of some disease?
Now, that's one of the prophecies that they said in the future that we would see a lot of instant healing that would happen in the Golden Cities.
All right, I'm going to ask you about some specific areas, and then tell me about your map. And also, just you sent us some pictures that are on the coasttocoastam.com website, which is a capsule of some of the things. And again, in terms of time-wise, which is so important to all of us, you have any idea when this could occur?
I believe we're in the changes now. And one thing that they did say is that they said that the changes would start in 1992. And so I looked that up just to see what happened that year. And that's when we had the horrible earthquake in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
We also had terrible year tornadoes that year. We had Hurricane Andrew that year.
Did they foresee the tsunami of December 2004?
No, they didn't. They didn't. But you got to understand, George, too, you know, they've given these maps, and then they kind of speak, too, that there'll be many events that will happen during the times of changes. They did speak about tsunamis that will happen in Japan. Of course, that is off in the future.
Okay, but you think this is happening now? It's starting now.
Yes. And again, you know, I can't overemphasize this, is that, you know, these things can change contingent on humanity's consciousness.
All right, let me ask you some of these spots. Now, of course, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. You have to see these, but we're going to give you a capsule of some of these locations where all of you live. And again, this is not War of the Worlds. Don't jump off a bridge. But, you know, I want you to hear from Lori. Let's start again with the Pacific Northwest. What do you see there?
Well, they spoke about a massive mega earthquake that would happen really between Ellensburg and Central Oregon. And I don't know if that's a fault line that has yet to be determined or what. Of course, the Cascadia fault line, you know, is there, that subduction zone.
You see Seattle covered by water.
Oh, yes, yes. And what they said, George, is that the Cascade Range of mountains would become a series of islands. Mm-hmm. And that the coastline would go all the way into Spokane, Washington, a little town by the name of Lewiston.
Spokane will be the western coast?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my.
But early on, it was interesting. They spoke about a nuclear problem in Spokane. I don't know if it was, you know, a detonation or if there was just a problem, maybe like with Hanford or something like that. But they talked about that there would be a problem in that area, a nuclear problem. But they also spoke about that there would be a peninsula of land that would move between the state of Idaho and out to Mount Shasta, forming kind of, you can see that on the map. And what was very fascinating about this prophecy is that I had several people throughout the year share with me that this was similar to one of Semyasi's prophecies, who worked with Billy Meyer and mm-hmm. his material. And they loved the maps. They thought that the Young America maps were very credible because of this peninsula of land. And evidently Semyasi talked about this, that they used this for navigation.
Where's Oregon on this map?
Oregon is underwater.
The whole state?
Yes, it's a mega quake that they spoke about. It doesn't happen all at once, but there is one major one, and this was sort of interesting because later on they explained this to us as years, you know, went on and we asked them more questions. They talked about an underwater ocean that's underneath much of Oregon and also parts of Washington.
Already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they said that because of that, that sets in an overall weakness in those two states.
And down it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you can see also in here, Salt Lake City is a series of islands, too.
All right, how about California? What happens?
Well, shortly, you know, after the pole shifts, this is interesting.
Now, the asteroid affects California, right?
Well, it does. It does, but the earthquakes will happen first in the Northwest.
Okay.
And then they move to California. And, you know, they didn't give us tremendous detail on the Oregon, or excuse me, on the California quakes. But they did say that, again, that there would be a series of islands that would remain, you know, between Mount Shasta and then Gibraltar Island is what they call it. And this is where, you know, Yosemite Park is. And they said there'd be small islands in between there called the Pathway Islands.
Yosemite Park becomes the Gibraltar Island?
Yes.
And there's water all around it then?
I know. So it's Lake Tahoe area, Yosemite Park, and the Sequoia National Park.
What becomes of Los Angeles?
Underwater. And they call that, interestingly enough, the Bay of Harmony.
How about Las Vegas?
Underwater.
It goes in that far?
Yeah, it goes all the way up to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, my God. Okay, yet California, the San Diego part, that stays? That's intact?
Yeah, San Diego stays. And again, they say that's going to be one of the places where the skies will first clear after the 2 years of rain.
That's interesting.
Hard to believe. I know, because with those types of changes, how San Diego would remain after that. They spoke about, you know, in Mexico at the Baja Peninsula, that would erode into a series of islands, too.
So Phoenix becomes the West Coast.
Yeah.
At least down in the southern part.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way up to the Pacific Rim, where you say Spokane becomes the West Coast.
Well, there's two bays, and the peninsula of land separates the two bays. And you can also see Denver, Colorado becomes a seaport town.
Denver becomes a seaport town?
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Rocky Mountains?
I know. But they spoke about that. They explain it much more clearly in the six-map scenario, how the series of events actually occur. But in the I'm America map, the very first map, they just indicated through the polar shift and just a total shifting of many of the tectonic plates.
How about the Florida region?
Well, the lower tip of Florida sinks. But there is like an overall global warming that overtakes, you know, in Florida.
There goes my South Beach vacation spot.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Can't go down there anymore. What about the East Coast, Boston, New York, all that?
Well, what was fascinating about that is that they talked about abrupt climate change in that area. That's, of course, the buzzword now today of how we've learned to understand that. But they said there'd be a lot of wind, heavy wind. It doesn't have the problems like we have on the West Coast, but they get very icy cold winds. And they say the winds themselves will break up the East Coast into a lot of islands. And, of course, we talked a little bit about New York, but that will become a bay all in that area. They talked about...
What about the Mississippi? What happens to that?
Oh, that's very fascinating. They talk about Lake Michigan actually in an earth movement breaks open and drains through the whole Mississippi Valley. Of course, because of the 2 years of rain, you have the widening of the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers.
And I assume that while all this is going on, in other regions of this planet, they're being affected too?
I would assume, although this is interesting. They said the United States would be the first to experience the changes.
Does that include Canada?
I believe so. I believe so. The first to experience the changes and the first to come out of the changes and will give aid to the rest of the world. Now, I don't know if that's just a metaphor for us experiencing, you know, change within or change in social, political, you know, that type of thing. But I would think that once these big changes start, they're going to be everywhere. It's very systemic.
And you think now, little pieces of it are beginning now.
Yes. And that's why I put up so many little links, you know, on the website just to show the different things that are happening right now that kind of show the correlations of what is really happening and the scientific information that we're getting. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
What happens in Europe in terms of, you know, this talk that within 20 years they could begin to experience some severe weather too?
Well, the masters talked about that there would be tears in the ozone layer. And what this does is, along with the global warming, it creates instant ice ages in areas. And the masters explained it as ice sheeting, where sheets of ice would actually fall over a city and freeze a city. And at the time, you know, I just thought, that's just almost unbelievable.
Well, looking at the map, I hope it is unbelievable.
Yet, it's interesting. There is a study that has been done by the Pentagon on abrupt climate change. And they actually map out a very similar scenario where they say, yes, you know, this is a probability. These things could possibly happen through the shutting down of the ocean currents.
You believe all this could be avoided with tremendous consciousness of, I guess, well-being.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I always hold that as a hope in all of this.
Well, you know what, though? How can it stop a catastrophe?
And on the other hand, George, it's how you want to see things as well. You know, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full?
Is it partly sunny or partly cloudy?
Exactly. I think this is an opportunity, too, for us to evolve and grow through. And so that is another aspect and element of the changes.
Stay with us, Lori. We'll be right back the next hour. We'll open up the phone lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know, listening to everything you've said, Lori, and then tying it into what Edgar Cayce said during his days, it is pretty scary that these things could happen.
The I'm America message, like I said before, it's a provocative message. But I do want to emphasize again, it's a message of choice. And this is one thing that is contained in the prophecies, you know, that within our heart is the gentle, you know, revolution that can redirect the course of such events.
Well, I'm glad you remain positive about this.
Well, I think it's important. You know, this is an intense time we're living in. There's a lot of things happening at a, you know, social, political level. And then to add on, you know, these types of changes, I think that we all felt pretty bad, you know, when we watched what was happening in New Orleans, you know, especially when we have, you know, the war in the Middle East, you know, alongside that. So I think it's very important, you know, that we stay very centered and very focused, you know, during these times, and realize that there is a lot that is within us, you know, that can change these events.
Did they tell you other things as well beyond just earth changes?
Oh, so much. I mean, the maps really are only about 10% of our work with them. It's mostly spiritual work, George. They talked about how we can change ourselves, and through that change within us, that change then radiates out, you know, first in a small way, you know, to a neighbor, and then onward into our communities. But that this really has a large effect on the planet itself. It was interesting in the middle of giving the changes. I believe at the time they were for Canada. The masters just dropped everything, and they started giving us information. They called them the 12 jurisdictions. And they were 12 lovely spiritual lessons that they said that these are the new fundamentals of how we will be in the future. And it wasn't just all earth changes information.
Is there anything out there that... you heard from them that you're even afraid to tell us?
Not really. I think we have pretty well relayed everything in the maps. And I have to admit, you know, I've been away from this work for a while, and I went back and did a lot of research, you know, to prepare for this interview, and I understood why I took a break from it. Because when you're dealing with this kind of information, it does feel at times like almost you have a negative reaction to it. But I realize too that these changes, if they do happen, they're very necessary. And to keep a positive attitude about them, that this is allowing a new cycle of growth for all humanity to come forward, and that's really how I see it.
Tell me about these other dimensions that these ascended masters are from.
Well, they talk about the fourth dimension, you know, which is where all the elemental life, you know, lives mm-hmm. and is from. But the fifth dimension is it's a different dimension than from the third dimension. Time, there's no such thing really as time there. They talk about the omnipresent one. That there is a unity consciousness. They sometimes refer to that as unana, or a unity form of being. They say that we are all interconnected seamlessly as one in the fifth dimension. I've often wondered if the master teachers really are just one consciousness, and they just take on a form so that we can identify with it through our belief systems. But the fifth dimension, they say that is where we can have spontaneous healing. Many miracles can occur through our interaction with the fifth dimension. I believe that we're seeing, you know, some anomalies of the fifth dimension, you know, happening, you know, today in our world.
Looks like Russia takes it on the chin too, don't they?
Very much, very much.
There's not much of them at all.
And the only thing that I really could get from it. I was looking at that the other day, and it's got to be some sort of a mega, mega earthquake, you know, like a superquake.
I mean, it just looks like the whole top has been chopped off.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the Ural Mountains, you know, remain as a little peninsula land. You know, it's interesting too. In Siberia, there's two larger islands that remain there, and they say that is going to be a very unique area after the times of changes and when we enter into the new times.
What kind of area?
Well, they say it's going to be very bountiful, very abundant seaport that is going to be a very good agricultural area in Siberia.
You mean there'll be some of us left?
Yes.
What do you think the population will be? I mean, 6 billion right now?
I don't have a clue. And that is a question, you know, we've never really asked. But, you know, no doubt, if we were to see these severe changes, of course, you know, you don't need a map really to point that out, that we could have a lot of destruction and devastation.
Do they seem pretty willing, though, to answer questions?
Yes, they do. And often I wonder about that, you know, why are they so willing to help? But I've come to understand that that's just who they are and the function that they now provide. They're like elder brothers, elder sisters who are helping us along the path.
I almost forgot to ask you about changes in Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, yes. They talked about the northern slope in Alaska melting. And, of course, that is happening. And they started documenting that in 1986. But there would be volcanic explosions that they talked about probably in the Aleutian Islands there in Alaska. And some changes, of course, you know, throughout the state itself. Hawaii is a little more interesting. They said that three islands would remain after the changes, Hawaii, Maui, and Kauai. But the interesting part are the new lands that come up. And they said that there would be a lot of new land that would come up near Hawaii. It would be to the northwest of the island.
Do they talk about different forms of industry or government or anything like that? I mean, do we become a one-world government by this time?
No. They said, in fact, the changes would actually stop some of that, and that we would develop more regional state-like governments all throughout the world. And they said that the United States would actually have five regional governments that would be making decisions on a more regional, local basis. Now, they didn't really evolve that, but I guess I would just assume that then they would get together and decide what was best for the nation as a whole. But because of an overall unity consciousness, they said that would happen as a result of going through these changes, humanity changes a lot too. And we would really unite with Canada, and that Canada and the United States would act more at a governmental level together.
You know, looking at your map reminds me of the first Superman movie where Gene Hackman, who played the part of Lex Luthor, wanted to blow up the western side of the United States and buy property in Arizona and have it as his lakefront or beachfront property. And, you know, you look at that, and let's assume for a moment this is all going to happen and it's all real and correct. If you were an investor, what would you be doing right now, Lori? If you had the money you needed to spend.
And correct. I'm not certain if investing would be on my mind.
Well, but I'm asking because there are some people who want to profit.
Physical preparation would definitely be on my mind if this were real and correct.
Would you be buying land in these certain areas? I mean, like you say, Arizona, Phoenix is going to be the west coast of the United States. Would you be buying land there?
Well, interestingly enough, I think that's already happening.
Because of this?
No, I don't know. I don't know if it is. I've often hoped that maybe at some higher level that they're kind of sensing that. Maybe that's why that's happening.
How would you change all of this? If you wanted to tell the world, as you are right now, at least half of the world, tell them about their ability to fix this, what would you say?
That's a hard one. I think it's pretty simple. But yet it's a harder one. And we've asked the masters that many times, and they say it's very simple. It's called loving one another.
It's kind of funny. I have a guest comes on once in a while. She's a dream interpreter and a darn good one, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you sound almost identical to her.
Really?
Synchronicity.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
She you know, people call in and you know, she tells them a little bit about their dreams and things like that. And she's very good. She's also deals with the angelic realm quite a bit, too. So that's interesting that your life has taken you down this path as well.
Yes, and I never thought that this is what I would be doing. Never, ever. But it's been very delightful. We've met really wonderful people.
How often are you in this dream state where they communicate with you?
Well, almost every day. You know, I feel them with me all the time, just all the time. I periodically take breaks from doing trance work because it is very hard on the physical body, and I just like to have breaks from doing that type of work. And so, and also, I like to have my, you know, work organized, you know, so we can understand, you know, where we're moving and in what direction.
Are you happy about the future?
As happy as one could be knowing this type of information. You know, they say sometimes to know what is a possibility of what could happen may not be good, that you have to be strong to know your destiny. So it's good in many ways. It's very good because I think that there's an overall raise in consciousness among people. And I think between everyday people that we feel that something is happening, definitely. And I think that people really are good, I think, at just that real visceral level. I think that these changes, though, if they do happen, we will experience some difficulties. You know, there's no two ways about it.
Now, will it happen fast or over time?
I don't know, and from what the masters have told us, it looks like, I think it's going to be over hundreds of years. That's, you know, maybe best casing.
Well, that does give us a lot of time.
It does, but maybe it's better if we got it over right away. If this is something that must happen, then maybe it's better if it got over all at once, and it might be easier to see our way through it.
What happens to the Midwest in terms of our ability for food and crops? I mean, are we still intact there?
Well, some of it is going to experience some breakdown, but Canada is going to really take over and become one of the major food production areas for North America after the times of changes.
Because of?
Just overall climate changes that we will experience throughout North America. So it will upset some of the growing cycles and that type of thing.
But you would have no idea what would happen to population.
I really don't. One interesting thing that they talked about, they said that after we experienced the Great Change, that we would enter into the era of transportation.
Such as?
Well, they said that we would learn how to travel using the fifth dimension.
Oh, really? Like portals?
Yes, like portals. And that the great age of transportation, then, we would actually really be moving out to other planets. And they said that this was going to be sort of the way that if we've gone through the information age, that then we'd enter the age of transportation.
Do you ever see the water receding and the land masses coming back?
It's very possible in another Earth change that things like that could happen. One thing that was very fascinating at one time, for about a 2-month period, they gave us the map of the world as it existed before it looks the way it does now. So I believe they gave us that information so that we could see how the Earth is always changing.
Can you imagine if you were a scuba diver or in a submarine and you could see cities underwater like that?
Oh, it'd be fascinating.
How strange. You'd still have automobiles and things.
Well, what was interesting, you know, there. Everyone always talks about Atlantis. And so, of course, we ask them, you know, what do you see here? And they talked about huge submerged crystals that were off the East Coast in several places. And that was pretty fascinating. And they said that they actually contain records, and some of them had the ability to actually produce energy.
Are you glad you have this gift?
Well, I wouldn't know any different, to be perfectly honest, George. I mean, when you're born that way, that's just the way you are, you know?
Well, since you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because my younger sister is very psychic as well.
Just like you, or better, or worse?
Well, her gift is a little bit different, and she doesn't really work professionally, but she often sees people, you know, after they've crossed over.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. And we laugh about it because we think we have some great aunts who are also quite psychic. And so it is something that has just, you know, passed the family.
Has she seen your ascended masters? Has anybody else seen them?
In our family?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. My daughter has seen them several times.
What are their names? Do they have names?
My children?
No, the masters.
Oh, the masters. Oh, sorry.
we love your kids, but I don't need their names.
Well, of course, Jesus. We call him Master Jesus, or another name that we call him is Lord Sananda because of the higher vibration and energy that evokes when you say Sananda. Master Saint Germain is my master teacher. Oftentimes, when you begin to study this work, you might have one master teacher that you work more closely with.
And he was the first that you saw?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Master El Moria is another master who has worked on this project. Master Katumi, another master has worked on this. There are also lady masters, too. And, sometimes people will kind of rib us and say, why are they all men? And but there are other women masters who work on this. Kuan Yin is actually another ascended being who's worked on this. And she actually is a master teacher of Saint Germain.
What kind of life did they live when they were on this planet?
It's really hard to say. There's a lot of biographical information out there, that different channels have brought through. Like, for instance, I think I've read that, Saint Germain was Merlin in one of his lifetimes.
Oh, yeah, now that would be fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it's just a beautiful myth that El Moria, the Rajput prince, that he was King Arthur in one of his former lives. But there's no doubt, Saint Germain, he talks about being that in one lifetime he was a king of Africa. And this was way before the Africa we know today. So they have many, many varied, varied life experiences.
All right, well, stay with us, Lori, because at the top of the hour, guess what? It'll be phone time, and we'll just open up the lines and give everybody an opportunity to talk with you. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.